I'm still out on Padayatra. Actually, today is rest day for the devotees. Chaitanya and about 10 devotees have gone back to Agir to do a festival over there. And the bulk of the Padayatra is here resting, and they'll go tomorrow to New Brajadam. I'll probably make my way to Radhasham Sundar this afternoon. After lunch. It's been a long time since I've seen Radhasham or seen New Brajadam and the Brijbasis, and I'll be very happy to be able to return and stay, albeit for not such a long time. I'll be staying in New Brajadam till the end of the month and then go to Budapest for a few days. And then I'll visit Kazakhstan for a week to visit the Kazakh devotees. And Govinda Maharaj asked me to go there. It'll be interesting to see how I manage to send podcasts from Kazakhstan. Anyway, let's see. Hearing of Krishna's pastimes as I'd described them briefly in the previous two podcasts are what's called Nitya Leela. And devotees who are advanced in Krishna consciousness spontaneously and automatically think of these pastimes when they chant Hare Krishna, or at other times when they're not engaged in service that absorbs their minds. And other devotees who are not necessarily free from all contact with material energy, but who are fixed in the mode of goodness and who have a natural attraction for such things, they also remember Krishna's pastimes as they read it in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other literatures given to us by the Goswamis. There are another kind of pastimes of the Lord which are called naimitika, or occasional pastimes, which are the pastimes that Krishna or his different incarnations display in this world that are characteristic to his janma and karma, namely his killing of demons, giving suitable protection to devotees, re-establishing religious principles. While the hearing of Krishna's eternal pastimes gives great bliss to devotees and polishes their hearts, the occasional pastimes help remove many anarthas, or unwanted things, which are stumbling blocks to the offenseless chanting of the holy name. For instance, we read of Hiranyaksha, who is the personification of greed, who exploited the whole world for gold, and as a result the earth planet fell into the Garbhadak ocean. When devotees who are introspective meditate on this pastime, then they learn how to free themselves from this insatiable desire to possess, to collect, to have, which becomes the impetus for passionate endeavor in this material world. So if we can become free from over-collecting, from having more than what is our quota, we can put a real break on the mode of passion. Therefore, devotees hear and meditate on these particular pastimes. Have you meditated on that pastime of how Lord Varaha kills Hiranyaksha? Or just read it like some kind of story without really contemplating its inner meaning? And in the same way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the 10th canto describes that Krishna's killing of the demons there, those occasional pastimes represent many obstacles to pure devotional service, or anarthas within the heart, as well as external obstacles. And if devotees contemplate these, pray to the Lord for release from these obstacles, then they advance in devotional service and can learn how to vibrate the holy name free of offense. There are 20 such obstacles to Braja Bhakti, since these are the demons who came to Vrindavan and they disturbed the Brajabasis in the execution of the service to Krishna. And I'll go over them systematically. I don't think I can do them all today, but over the next few days I'll comment on them briefly one by one. And we know that Krishna kills most of these demons, and Balaram some others. And the first one which is killed is Putana. We remember how Putana came in the guise of a very, very beautiful lady, more beautiful than the goddess of fortune, in order to breastfeed Krishna. This is the tradition in Vedic culture, that in order to show their affection to a newborn baby, other ladies would also offer their best breast milk to a newborn. And the same was the case with Krishna. And because Putana appeared so beautiful, because she was so self-assured, everyone just naturally assumed that she was coming as Krishna's well-wisher, and therefore no one stopped her when she put Krishna upon her lap and gave her breast, which was actually covered by poison. Putana was a rakshasi. She was a, what we call in modern terms, a vampire, used to sucking the blood of children. But rather than being able to kill Krishna, we know that Krishna sucked out her left ear and killed her, and then she resumed her horrible and gigantic form. So who's that person who comes in the guise of someone who's meant to nurse you, but actually poisons you? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this represents the pseudo-guru, or the false guru, or one's own conditioned mind. There are so many gurus who come in the guise of people's well-wishers, with twinkles in their eyes, long flowing beards, speaking many flowery words. And because people are unassuming and innocent, they think, oh, this person is actually coming to give me the truth. But instead of giving the truth, they give the poisoned version of the truth. In other words, they give a facsimile of the truth, saying that the truth is impersonal, the truth has no form, or the truth is void. And when people accept this because they have faith in the so-called guru, therefore they put faith in these teachings, and having been poisoned them once, it becomes very difficult to unseat this type of misconceptions from the mind and the heart of conditioned living entities. So we should also be very careful about accepting false truths. The gurus are not necessarily the official gurudevs who we're talking about, but we've accepted false truths from teachers, from professors, unfortunately even from parents, who've, on the basis of being authority, trusted personalities, have given us a false idea of what the absolute truth is about, a false idea of what the goal of life is. They've convinced us that the goal of life is sense gratification, to become achievers, to fit into society and be like everyone else, namely a materialist. These are the false gurus of our world. But even more dangerous than that is our own conditioned mind. Our mind, who is living with us, going with us wherever we are, and appearing to be our well-wisher, is actually the byproduct of countless lifetimes of impious activities, impressions accumulated from so many other false gurus, false scriptures, false authorities. And therefore, placing faith in our mind is just like placing faith in Putana. Drinking the advice of our mind is like drinking her are poisoned breast milk. Wise devotees, therefore, make sure that any advice that they take from their mind is authenticated by sadhu, guru, shastra, by infallible sources, by perfect sources, by perfect gurus. And for us, the perfect guru is Srila Prabhupada, and anyone who represents Srila Prabhupada is also a perfect guru. Of course, represent doesn't mean simply to pose as the representative, but actually to represent in deed as well as in teachings. So meditate upon this false person, these false persons who come and feed us these type of poisons, which actually distract us from the real goal of life and from Krishna's lotus feet and from pure devotional service. Don't take it lightly. We should not contemplate and use the hours, or at least the minutes during the hours of the day that we have free, to think about what are all the different authorities in the past who have given us so many different types of teachings which don't necessarily mesh with the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And we should sort those teachings out, those false teachings out from the true teachings, and put them at a very distant place, knowing that they are no longer part of our real life, our spiritual life. After Putana was Shakatasura. Shakatasura was the cart demon whom Krishna kicked to a very distant place. This demon wanted to crush Krishna, but instead of crushing him, he was destroyed. This load-carrying tendency, in other words, that we carry unnecessary things, unnecessary utensils, just like they're carried on a cart. And these unnecessary things are bad habits that we don't want to give up and we've accumulated in this life and previous lives, such as lethargy, which is a product of the mode of ignorance, sleeping too much, hanging around, not making the best use of our time, and other anarthas, which are described in the 10 offenses to the holy name, that to maintain attachment to bad habits is an offense to the holy name. We should see what are the current state or stock of attachments within our heart. What are the bad habits that we have? And these bad habits are generally approached by us in two ways. One, we hang on to them, and the other one is that we try to get rid of them, even though it may not be easy to get rid of them, and therefore they may still prevail over time. The tendency to hang on to material desires, or not give up on them because, or not try to purify ourselves from them, because that causes too much strain on us, because it's a great effort. This is the Shakatasura mentality. But, like Krishna kicked away, Raghunath Das Goswami says we should also kick away these bad habits. Or at least we should make the resolute determination that we're going to kick them away, and then, bit by bit, step by step, take those systematic steps that are required in order to free ourselves from these unwanted things which clutter up our heart, clutter up our mind, and keep us distant from Krishna. Look into your heart. See what are the things there. Are we maintaining attachment to unnecessary attraction to the members of the opposite sex? Are we maintaining attachment to overeating, to oversleeping? Or worse yet, are we cultivating any of these things and so many others that I could mention, but you could mention just as well? If so, then we need to identify these and systematically work on eradicating them, especially those that are major obstacles on the path of our pure devotion. This is what we did when we came to Krishna consciousness, but somehow when we're faced with the enormity of our task, we tend to be a little more quote-unquote practical, quote-unquote realistic, quote-unquote not so fanatical. But no, we should be very careful. It's one thing to make a systematic, progressive effort at becoming free from unwanted habits, and it's another thing to give in to them, or worse still, to embrace them. That is certainly Maya. And read the story of Shakatasura, meditate upon it, pray to Krishna that he helps you with these, because certainly our own efforts are limited, but Krishna's help has unlimited potency, and if we desire his help, he will give it. And the combination of these two things will really work wonders. So between now and tomorrow, here are two demons that we should meditate on, the demons within our hearts, and see how we can actually expel them or refresh the process of expelling them within our hearts. Tomorrow we'll continue with Guess Who? Trinavarta. Hare Krishna.